Adventure Sports Innovation is a Chattanooga business that brings high tech into outdoor experiences. In fact, it is one of six finalists for the annual Spirit of Innovation Award by the Chattanooga Area Chamber of Commerce. The award winner will be named, and the other finalists will also be honored next Wednesday as part of Startup Week Chattanooga. Patrick Molloy is CEO of Adventure Sports Innovation. Patrick, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Ray.
Tell us more about how your business came to be here in Chattanooga.
Well, we opened our doors last July of 2018, but took a lot to put it together before that. My wife and I moved here to Chattanooga in July the previous year of 2017 with the intent to open a business in the outdoor industry. We didn't know quite what it would be, and we came here and researched everything that Chattanooga has to offer for outdoor adventures and fun. And we found what we thought to be a missing element in the marketplace, which was new technology for outdoor play. So we started researching lots of gear and opportunities, things that we thought would be cool and fun and exciting and yet safe. And we ended up putting together a collection of things for off-road, for on-road transportation, for water fun, as well as virtual reality simulators, all themed around outdoor adventures.
There's one thing that you offer. It's a vehicle that reminds you of a spider.
Well, it's a good observation. It's actually called the Swincar E-Spider. It's called so because the arms that the wheels are attached to each articulate out and up and down and sideways independently. So each one can be climbing. One can be climbing over a rock on the other side, the other down in a gully on the other side. And there's no axle, so each wheel is attached to these swing arms, as they call them. And it takes on the terrain and bears the force of climbing over things and bouncing over things. So the driver is pretty comfortable and very stable inside their cockpit.
What your business offers is a cross between the outdoors and high tech.
Exactly. We hope to be at the intersection of high tech and outdoor fun, which Chattanooga is famous for both of those. And we said, why not put a business right at the center of that?
Tell us more about virtual reality.
So the virtual reality we decided to add when we were thinking about who our audience was and who would come down for adventures. And we wanted to make sure we had things that were accessible to a wider range, not just those who are willing to try a new piece of gear or a new device, but those who wanted a thrill, wanted some adrenaline rush and wanted to have a lot of fun, but maybe didn't want to take the risk level involved. Right now, I've got three simulators, one for hang gliding, one for design-it-yourself roller coaster ride, and one that's a little hard to describe. It's called Vertigo, and it's an experience on top of a skyscraper where you're on a mission to save a cat who's stranded out there. And so you're 100 stories in the air and nothing to hold onto and walk on a plank. We've also just launched a virtual reality movie in our shop. Given the gear that we had, we were approached by a film producer who wanted us to show their movie, The Kessler Effect. So we've got that running right now. This developer from Russia actually has told us they're going to be having new content come out every 2 or 3 months. And so we've signed up to offer that as well.
So tell us more about this movie.
So The Kessler Effect is a science fiction-based movie set maybe about 100 years in our future, set just in outer Earth orbit. You are a character in the movie. You are the robot pilot of the spaceship. And so VR movies are filmed in a first person. So the camera is basically you looking all around you and looking at the other characters. You can actually look in 360. You can turn your head all the way around and look at everything going on. The characters interact with you. You have to actually make decisions. You have to press buttons. You have to drive the spaceship for a while. And you can actually affect the outcome. So it's one of these types of shows that has seven possible outcomes. And depending on what you do and how well you steer the ship, et cetera, you may either save everybody on the planet or you may have some issues and not be so happy with the outcome.
And besides virtual reality, there's also something known as augmented reality, where it's a hybrid between you're actually out in the physical space, but then you have a pair of goggles on and it adds things to that space. Is that something that your business provides? And if not, is it something that you're exploring?
So I would say that each of our simulators has some element to that because there's physical things going on that are causing you to feel the sensations of what you're seeing in the virtual space, whether it's wind blowing at you or you're having to physically move around and walk the plank, for instance. But we are looking at and experimenting with other things that we might be able to add, particularly this winter as our outdoor activities may be curtailed by the weather. So we're working on maybe some more like physical sporting activities where you're moving around but wearing virtual goggles. So hopefully we're going to be able to get something like that up and running soon too.
Besides what you have with virtual reality, you have all the things that you offer on land and on the water.
Yeah, it's quite a menu of choices. We try to have something for everybody. One of our product lines is our personal transportation devices, sometimes called the little vehicles. These are your last mile transport options to give you mobility in and around the city, outside, on the gravel paths, and even off-road. We have everything from folding mini electric bikes to scooters and scooter boards, electric skateboards. But we also have a lot of self-balancing equipment, starting with mini segways that are generally fairly easy to learn. But we do find people need some training, and we do actually provide training. And then we provide rentals, and of course we do sales. We have various levels of what people call hoverboards, or actually are called self-balancing boards. And then we have hover shoes, which are independent self-balancing wheels for each foot. And finally, our favorite is the electric unicycle. This is a very versatile single wheel that is motorized and self-balanced. And once you learn to ride it, you can pretty much ride on any kind of terrain, whether it's sidewalks and streets or it's out in the trails.
Are there any limitations on where people can take and use this equipment? I just ask because scooters have been debated here and in many other cities across the country.
Yeah, it's certainly a hot topic, right? The personal transportation devices, rules tend to vary around the country. And certainly in our city, when we give training and when we rent a device out, we try and give guidance to our customers as to where is a good, safe place to ride. We tend to focus, primarily if you can use a bike lane, then you should. Unfortunately, there aren't bike lanes everywhere, as you probably know. Therefore, quiet residential streets are good. You can, with certain vehicles, ride on sidewalks in certain places. Generally, when you're on a sidewalk, you need to be respectful of pedestrians and you need to give them warning if you're coming up behind them, etc. All of our vehicles are limited to less than 20 miles an hour, some much less than that, depending on the device. But they fit in what on the e-bike scale would be considered a category one type of an e-bike, which is under 20 miles an hour. And so very similar to like the bikes that the city is included in their bike share program, that they now have electric bike components in there. But it's really important that people not only protect themselves by wearing helmets or other appropriate gear, which we provide when we do rentals, but also they look out for safety of others and, you know, don't cause situations. There are places that you should not be riding in Chattanooga, and we point those out as well. The park does not like when you bring motorized vehicles in the center of, say, Coolidge Park or Renaissance Park, but they do allow you to go on the walking bridge, for instance, and go across the river on that. Chattanooga is, I would say, a friendly town for people on personal transport devices as well as bicycles. Our guests who've been out have enjoyed their experience quite a lot. Nobody's really had any difficulty, and most people seem to be pretty friendly and welcoming. It is certainly a very different model than the dockless rentals that you've heard about in other cities. You know, with ours, everybody who goes out our door, for instance, has been given some level of training, familiarization with the equipment, and they're wearing safety gear.
You mentioned that you moved here a little more than 2 years ago. Where did you come from? And tell us more about what brought you specifically here.
Sure. So my family was living up in New York for the last 10 years before we moved here. I was in corporate banking. My wife was in management consulting. And we enjoyed our careers, we were thinking we wanted to become entrepreneurs. We wanted to run our own business. And we started thinking through what that would look like and pictured ourselves doing something different and unique and hopefully growing it to a larger scale. And we looked for where would be the ideal place to start such a business. And we checked out many different cities and locations around the country, both internet searches as well as physically visiting them. We explored some business opportunities, but Chattanooga kept rising up to the top of the list because one, it's a very beautiful location in terms of its outdoor scenery, the trail networks, the fact that people come here for outdoor adventures and healthy lifestyle. But it's also a very entrepreneurial city, and there's a lot of support for new businesses. There's a lot of enthusiasm to encourage growth. So all of those things, plus a couple of site visits here that were quite fun, led us to select Chattanooga as the place to come and start our business.
And, excuse me, are there any other businesses like yours in other cities across the country, or are you trying to do something unique?
We have not found any business like ours. And so, for good or bad, right? The good part is, yes, we're unique and it's novel and new. Bad part is there's no template, there's no path for what we're trying to do. We sort of envision ourselves being the place where you can find those new products invented in the last couple of years that you might see on a viral video on YouTube or something that says top 20 things you got to try, and you get all excited and then find there's nowhere I can actually use it. And the only way I can try it is to buy it on the internet, sight unseen, for hundreds or thousands of dollars. And so it's very off-putting to the average consumer. So we would like to be in a position where not only do we have the products we've selected, but we hope to start getting manufacturers reaching out to us and saying, hey, Chattanooga sounds like a great place for us to do a trial of this new product that we've just finished the prototype and we're ready to go to production.
What's something that you've learned in setting up and having to run your own business in the past year plus?
Oh, so many things. I wouldn't know which was the most important, but marketing is one of the hardest things. From a small business perspective, there are so many avenues that you can pursue, and there's so many ways you can spend money doing lots and lots of advertising versus marketing versus public relations. So we've tried to find a healthy mix of all three of those things. It's sometimes, some things work. Ultimately, word of mouth still works really well. And building up a following, if you will, or building up some clientele who have tried your products and asking for those reviews is really important. We're very, very proud and pleased to have gotten over 250 reviews online from guests who've tried different experiences with us. And, all 5-star, which is fantastic for us. But that's actually one of the best marketing things that you can do, is have people talk to their friends and their neighbors and their community members about, hey, there's a new cool shop in town and this is what they do.
Anything surprise you?
I would say the surprising thing that we've found in our business model is that our expectation when we did the numbers and we said, how is this business actually going to work and how are we going to make money? We thought it was going to be more retail sales and less from experiences. But turns out that the majority of income that we have is from people trying things. They just love the experience and people come back and do things again. We've added group activities now as a big part of what we do, and found that that is also working quite well, whether it's a field trip for STEM students or a corporate team building activity. We find bringing in groups of people to have fun trying things together and adding content to that and talking about maybe how does the technology work behind the scenes, or talking about how to build innovation into your own organization and giving stories of the manufacturers and inventors that we know. That's been really successful. The retail sales, our products are unique, and some of them, have a fairly big price tag because they're pretty new in the market. Many of our buyers tend to be from out of town. We're actually attracting people from the surrounding region, people from Atlanta, from Nashville, from Knoxville, coming into town to try things like our electric surfboard or to come and take a drive in our Swincar electric spiders. And we are starting to sell products, which is fantastic, but they tend to be a big regional spread rather than local concentration.
All right. Patrick, thanks so much and all the best.
All right, Ray, thank you so much.